Hi, and welcome to the Well-Read Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion on books and reading. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Anne.
And we are librarians with Beaufort County Library in South Carolina. Happy 2016, Anne.
Happy 2016 to you, Hallie.
So this week we're going to be talking about reading resolutions, right along with the new year of other resolutions. I'm sure that readers out there make resolutions that are specifically just geared towards reading. So we're going to talk about whether or not we make them, what kinds we make, and there you have it.
Yeah, it'll be kind of different from
different from our usual
format. We're just going to talk.
But I'm sure we'll talk about some good books in there as well.
Maybe I didn't write down any.
I didn't either. So we'll see.
How good our recall is in this, little section.
Well, part of resolutions too is like you're looking ahead. So we don't know much about any book that we would be reading ahead.
Right.
But there will still be the books we're reading this week at the end, right?
Right. Yeah. You have one? Yeah. Okay. And it's also fun. Part of being a reader isn't just talking about the plots of books, but your reading
habits.
Experiences. Yeah, yeah, habits. So I think we'll be able to talk, whether anyone wants to listen to us talk.
But I think if you're already listening, if you've listened so far, this will be interesting to you, I would think.
Fingers crossed.
Unless you're our sisters and you just read because you love, or listen because you love us.
Out of a sense of guilt and obligation. Okay, so the first thing I want to talk about is something that I think we've talked about in the past during both of our Reading Lives episodes.
Yes, I think
is the question of to challenge or not to challenge.
Right.
So in your Reading Life episode, you talked about how one of the gifts of this year to yourself had been to not do a numbers challenge.
Right.
And when I say numbers challenge, I just mean like to hit a specific number of books that you plan to read for the year.
Right.
And that blew my mind. And I maybe went home and cried. And I just kind of shook in a corner for a couple of hours because I can't handle that. So tell me more about why this was so great for you.
Okay. I've done, even before I was on Goodreads for many, many years, I would always have a number goal that I tried to hit of books I would read. When I was not working in libraries, that was something that it was a fun thing to do because I would try to fit in reading at lunchtime and evenings and weekends and stuff to try to reach my goal. But once I started working in libraries, my goal kept going up and up and up because I was hitting it each year because I was reading so much just so I could be aware of what to recommend to people, what to talk about with other people. So last year I realized I was always hitting my goal, even though I read a ton of books and was always increasing the goal every year. And what I found myself doing was picking shorter books so I could make sure to reach my, not necessarily picking, I shouldn't say picking shorter books, shying away from longer books. Like you talked about The Luminaries as being one of your top books of the year. And I wouldn't have picked that up because it was so long and I knew it would take such a chunk of my reading time.
Right.
So I would have been like, well, like not consciously avoiding the longer books, but thinking, well, I'll get to those later. Right now I'm going to read these that I can get through three in a weekend or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so last year I just decided I don't really need a number goal because I read enough. I think the number goal can help if you're trying to read more and it helps you have a goal to hit. And so I thought I'm reading plenty of books. I don't need the motivation to keep reading more. And then it really freed me up to just read whatever I wanted to read and pick up whatever book I wanted. And so I'm not doing it again this year. And interestingly, I think I'm going to have read more this year than I read last year.
Really?
Because I still can see how many books I've read this year through Goodreads.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask if you still pay attention to the stats.
Not on a regular basis, but I did just look a couple of weeks ago because I did some rereading this year. And so that doesn't count in Goodreads, but I write all those.
Unless you change the dates.
But then I lose them. Yeah, I know.
I struggle with this a lot.
So I write down every book that I read in my calendar of when I finished it.
So
I just flipped back through my calendar and counted up how many books I had read this year. And it's actually, I think we're recording this before the end of the year. And so I think that by the end of the year, I will have surpassed how many I read last year.
Wow.
Without keeping track. So you do stick with a number goal.
I do. And I also need to say you pick crazy amounts for the numbers of books you'll read every year.
But that's the number of books I actually read.
I know, but it's insane. Like you have 175 as your goal or a couple of years ago it was 175, wasn't it? Or did you get to 175 and your goal was below that?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I am always at about 200 books a year.
Wow.
But I do audiobooks. I count audiobooks as that.
Right. And I think maybe I listen to a lot of podcasts instead of audiobooks. I do some maybe 4 audiobooks a year, I usually do for road trips.
Yeah.
But podcasts are what I usually listen to when I'm driving. And so I think that if I just cut that out, then I would hit more books. But then, so this is my issue.
Okay
so my issues with book challenges or my love-hate relationship with book challenges sort of revolve around the fact that I do read a ton. My goal is usually 100 to 104 books a year, because that would be 2 a week. So that's usually what I set, and I usually make it. Mm-hmm. This year I will not. I have this sort of this constant war with myself of, do I read books or do I live life? So when I see people talking about read more, and we'll talk later on about Book Riot, and that one of their things is to sort of read harder and to read more and to encourage reading. And I think that's a great message, and I really encourage that message, but I'm not someone that's going to be like talked into reading. I'm already going to be reading. And so if I'm reading tons of books, then I think, am I not having experiences? Will I say no to something because I think I've got to get these books read? And I do. We talked about that on the podcast, that I have this enormous amount of reader's guilt of, do I finish all these books that I've said I would finish for publishers? Yeah. And that's just something that I think a lot about. And I have some other friends that sort of struggle with the same thing, where we have this sort of leisure guilt of always the to-do list when it comes to how we spend our leisure time, whether that's through books or Netflix queues or Hulu queues. There's always more to consume. So I don't know that a reading goal is really that important for me, since I'm not going to not read anyway. But at the same time, I love lists. I love statistics. I love comparing what I read from 1 year to the next, and the numbers and of how much I read are really fascinating to me. So I don't know.
Well, and now that you're saying that, that was part of my thinking too, is I felt like I was, when I did set a number or had a number goal in mind, it became the predominant leisure time that I, like if I wasn't, like if I was homesick, like say I had the flu or something and I was home and I think, well, I should be reading. But really what I want to do is lay on the couch and watch bad TV, you know, because I was sick and I didn't really want to read anything.
Right.
But I would feel like, well, I'm home, I'm not at work and I have free time, so I should be reading. So that's also part of the reason why I stopped doing a number, because then I thought, well, I want to go see a movie with a friend on a weekend afternoon, and I can do that instead of feeling like, oh, I need to be reading.
Yeah.
So because we have enough of that sense just from being readers and librarians, where you want to be. There are always new books you're hearing about. There are always books that are recommended. So you always want to be reading them. So that's why I gave up the number.
You're making a compelling argument. I don't know that I can.
No peer pressure.
I love it so much. And because then I sort of, I mean, I know that I wouldn't not read, but I sort of worry that I would overcompensate the other way and say, I don't have a goal this year, so I'm not going to, I'll just watch too much TV or something. Yeah. I guess sort of like having something to make me not watch like the CW all the time, which is my greatest of guilty pleasures. Yeah. So, and I'm not really that sorry about doing things like that, but I also feel like reading is ultimately more valuable to me in the long run than watching, like binge watching stuff. So Hallie's giving me incredulous looks right now.
That's the only way I watch television is to binge watch. Do what feels good to you. I personally feel like you would still read about 100 books a year, even if you didn't set that goal.
Right.
Like maybe it's 95 instead of 100.
Right.
But does that really make a difference? In your mind, probably.
Yeah.
In my mind, not.
In crazy mind, yes.
Okay. So there's the number goal, but then there are also other kinds of challenges that you can partake in throughout the year. So do you do anything? Do you plan on doing anything like that for 2016?
I started a couple of goals last year that I didn't, or reading challenges, I should say, that I ultimately, I'm sure I could still fit all the books that I read into these challenges. So I think they're really fun to do. So when we talk about book challenges, then basically there are various websites and a lot of blogs do this too, where they'll present some sort of book challenge where you're reading a certain type of book or a certain number of books, and they usually fall under some sort of kind of catchy, almost cute parameters. So I did two last year, and I'd have to look at the list and sort of make everything, I'd have to write everything down into what I read. But I think they're really fun, and I've always wanted to do those, and I've never done it because I've just either been in grad school and I couldn't tailor my reading to a list. I actually had stuff I had to read. And this year I've had more freedom, obviously, with my reading, but I still have a lot of obligations with book clubs and with stuff publishers send me. So like I think of this freedom of reading, and I just can't really wrap my mind around it. So the two that I did last year, and the two I'd probably be the most interested in again this year, the first is Book Riot's Read Harder Challenge. And that one is aiming in diversity in reading. So it's picking books by authors of various ethnicities and races. One of the challenges was to read a book written by someone under 25 and someone that's over 65. You read various award winners, you read poetry. There's lots of different types of genres that you'll read. And although I haven't seen one for 2016 yet, I don't know if they've come out with one.
No, I don't think they have, because I had printed out both Book Riot's challenge for 2015 looking for 2016, mm-hmm. but I think it comes out this week maybe.
Oh, okay.
So we're recording this the week before Christmas.
Right.
So our listeners are, so by the time you're listening to this, they will be published.
Right.
And then also Pop Sugar, which I think was on, you were going to mention as
yes.
well.
Yeah, yeah.
The Pop Sugar website does a reading challenge, and they have come out for their 2016 mm-hmm. with their 2016 list. And some of them are really no-brainers to, mm-hmm. I think, both of us. The one's a murder mystery on the Pop Sugar. I think
Done.
You'd have that covered. one is a book with a blue cover. One is a dystopian. One is a book from the library. I think we can both handle that one many times over. And then, like you said, the Read Harder Challenge for Book Riot had things like a novel published before 1850, a book published this year. So let me start by saying, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're cool.
Okay. So I have not done these before, mm-hmm. but this coming year, I think I'm going to try to do at least one of them, if not both of them, or mm-hmm. maybe find another one online, because I am no longer in a book club. I had two book clubs previously, but since we have started the podcast, I have taken a new job. And so I don't run those book clubs
anymore. Still with the library.
Still with just the library. Different. Still with the same library system, but just a new position in the library system. And I don't run those book clubs anymore. And I have less interaction with the public to hear about good books and hear about what they're reading. So I feel like I need kind of a push to read outside of what I would just normally pick up.
Right.
And of course, I still talk to people who like to read, and I'm on Goodreads and I read blogs and stuff. But I just thought that extra little motivation to try to read outside of my comfort zone might be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know that I'm going to try to do both of them. I'm not sure. But I'm definitely going to try to do one, or maybe take bits of each and form my own challenge for 2016.
Yeah, there's a lot of crossover between these two book challenges, but I think Pop Sugar is much fluffier. So it will have things like basing a book by its cover. And,
yeah.
and there's sort of a, I don't know, like a chick-lit feel to the list itself.
Yeah,
where
it's a little... I personally think the Pop Sugar one is easy to do without ever... other than a handful, really mm-hmm. reading outside of what I would ordinarily
right.
pick
just
up.
Finding,
it's just finding
this is
which
the right
one
fits
in there.
Yeah.
The other, so there's a podcast called Books on the Nightstand. I don't mm-hmm. know if you've ever listened to that.
Yeah.
But they do a book bingo in the summer.
Oh, really?
And it's fun. You can go and they have all these different categories, and then it's a like a random number generated sort of a situation uh-huh. where different categories pop up in your bingo card that mm-hmm. you can print out. And then you can do either the whole board or diagonally or cross or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something I thought about, too, is pulling up one of those, because yeah. those are listener submitted suggestions, as well as the hosts of that podcast come up with those categories. So
yeah.
I thought that might be a good idea, because one thing I did notice this year with my reading when I went and looked back was there wasn't a whole lot of diversity in genre or backgrounds, cultures, mm-hmm. race, that sort of thing. And so I'd really like to expand on that and mm-hmm. do a little bit better with that. So I do think, even though this was my year of like no reading goals or parameters, that I am going to try to put a few parameters on it this year. We'll see.
And those are the parameters that you're talking about that you would do.
Yeah, I would try to do more, well, particularly
just diverse reading.
Diverse reading, diverse in my... for my reading.
Right.
So that would include like some nonfiction, because mm-hmm. I'm not naturally drawn to nonfiction, and my book club was what really forced
yeah.
me to read nonfiction. So now that I'm not in the book clubs anymore, I talked about Americana mm-hmm. in an early podcast episode. I had read that in, I think, 2014. That was one of my favorite books that year. Mm-hmm. And that was something I just sort of, that was like, I liked the cover of the paperback. So I bought
yeah.
it and loved it. And so books like that I have to kind of look outside of my usual circles to find mm-hmm. those kinds of books. But so that's like a general goal. I do well with resolutions that are quantifiable.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of have to work on putting together some sort of list or something to
right.
to work from. But that's kind of my plan.
I have a similar goal, but I want to talk a little bit more about other book challenges
yeah.
before we move to
sure.
that. What are some of the other book challenges that you've done? Like there's the A to Z challenge.
A to Z, I did that a couple of years. That was a YA one I did.
Oh,
A to
really?
Z. YA challenge.
So if you don't know what a A to Z challenge is, it's reading a book with the title starting with every letter of the alphabet. So you just
or
sort
author.
Of make through.
Oh, is the YA. The
okay.
YA one was author
yeah.
as well.
That's cool.
Yeah.
There's book challenges that are a different genre every month. I've seen the Around the World challenge. So
yeah,
you're reading,
I like that.
Yeah, I think that one's really cool. So that's reading a book from trying to read. I don't know if any... how many people actually accomplish this, but to read a book from every country in the world.
Yeah.
I think that there's one woman that wrote a book about her doing that. I can't remember the name of that right now, but that would be something that you could try to do to be more diverse in your reading. Mm-hmm. I've seen translation challenges to only read books in translation, big book challenges.
I was going
to
say there's one where you read from your bookshelf. They do. A popular challenge. Somebody hosts that's from January through March. You don't buy or get from the library any new books. You only read from the books that are currently in your house.
That's what I need to do.
Which is what I need to do. Oh my gosh, there's so many books in my house. And I did it 1 year. Other than book club books, I did it 1 year all the way to March.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I can't imagine not getting library books.
But I'd also checked out like 25 library books before the start of the year.
You cheat.
I did cheat. That was in the rule. You could do
that's
that.
Hilarious. I would have to set it up of only books that I own because I've got like thousands of them. And so it always cracks me up when people come to my apartment and they say, oh my word, have you read all these? And I'm just like, oh brother, that's a crazy presumptuous thing to say. So I think that would be a good challenge. I could probably support doing that for the most part. I don't think I could do it, obviously, because I have book clubs that I'm working through, then I couldn't just do that absolutely, but that could be a cool thing to do. Another thing, a couple of my friends, one friend did this last year where she only read books that were by non-white men. And so everything had to fall. It could be a white woman. It could be a man of color, but it couldn't be written by a white man.
Okay.
And I guess that the year before that she had done some statistics on her own reading habits and realized that like there was a disproportionate number of books written by white men, and she felt like that needed to be remedied. So that was interesting. And then I have a friend this coming year that's planning to do only books by people of color. And so that's something else to think about. Yeah. I don't know that I could fit that completely just based on the responsibilities I have with book clubs. So, and then the heart wants what the heart wants. So if you want to read a romance novel and it's not by someone that fits those parameters, then like sometimes you just really want to read a book by a certain person. So I'm all for branching out. I think that's really important. And I'll talk about that in my goals and what you've talked about, that making sure you're reading diversely is really, really important to me. But I also, I guess maybe that fits sort of into the setting parameters for yourself that aren't like you want to have a reading experience that isn't just, I've got to read these certain types of books. So I don't know. I think that there's good and bad on both of those.
One thing I've seen about resolutions in general, which I thought for particularly for my reading resolutions, is to do them in 3 month chunks instead of year long chunks. Cause year long, it's so easy to drift off and away from what your goal is or what you're working towards. And so I thought really that'd be a good idea for reading, because in 3 months I can read a fair number of books, that I don't know if I could keep up with any sort of challenge for the full year, because things come up and you know, new books come out that you want to read and stuff. For 3 months you could read off your own shelves, and for 3 months you could read all non-white authors, or you could read all non-white male authors, or whatever your goal is, and still feel like you have some freedom for in the next 3 months to do something different. So that might be a possibility. My mom likes to read a lot, but she's not nearly the reader I am. And she made a resolution a year or two ago, which has worked really well for her, where when she finishes one book, the next day she'll pick up a new book or start a new book, because what she found was she'd finish one and then she'd start like reading magazines at night or on her iPad or whatever. And then it would be like 2 months before she'd pick up another book or a month or however long. And so she really loves to read. And so that was part of her motivation to just keep reading, is as soon as she finished one, she'd either ask me for a recommendation for another one or ask a friend or something and find another book. And so that's really kept her, like I said, it's a year or two ago and she's done, I mean, it's kept her reading consistently for that whole time since she made that resolution. So that's good for the readers who aren't maybe as intense as we are with some of these challenges and some of these goals, is something like that that's more manageable.
Right. That's funny, because I kind of think I need to do the opposite, because I actually unsubscribed from a bunch of magazines because I just had them piling up because I never read them since I was always reading books. And I used to have a system where if I would have to read once I finished a book, I had to read a magazine, and then just to sort of get it out of the way. And I really like I love cooking magazines. I could read about like international cooking all the time. And so it didn't feel like I was just flipping through like Us Weekly or something reading celebrity gossip. Like there's some meat to it, but it still had this feeling of, this is another thing that I have to get done. This is a pile of stuff that I need to process. So it's kind of helped to unsubscribe from things just sort of clear the decks a little bit, I think. So let's go to goals, since that was going along with what you were talking about before. So you're, so I have a similar goal to kind of amended similar goal. So I definitely think that reading diversely is important. And I think that that's something that we're paying a lot more attention to as librarians now than maybe I did when I was in grad school. And just for the reading different perspectives, especially right now, is something that I think is important for us to do as people. So I don't want to necessarily set a goal of I will read this type of book, but this year I'm going to start keeping track of what I read and then maybe make some spreadsheets that are based on like the nationality of the author, the race and gender of the author, the race and gender of the main characters, and just sort of see where I am and then maybe make some changes in the next year. Yeah. I want to make sure I'm not only reading books by and about British people, which sometimes I feel about I'm doing on this podcast. So I don't know that that will change my habits this year. And I think I do a fairly good job already, at least in terms of books by women. I read tons
I read
of, so
predominantly women. So if I go back and look at the books that I've read, it's predominantly women.
But then there's also the issue of reading. I shouldn't say it's an issue, but women authors often get pushed into the genre fiction categories versus mainstream, literary fiction, I guess is what we'd call it. And that's usually dominated by men. And so it'd be nice to maybe do some crossover between those.
Yeah, I feel like I need to read more of that because I feel like I'm shying away from some of the more literary fiction. This year I did. I had kind of an interesting year this year. And so I was always drawn to things that didn't make me think too much.
Comfort reading.
Yeah, comfort reading. Yeah. Things that were more comfortable. Yeah, like exactly. So so this coming year, I would like to not do that as much and not just go to what feels easy and fun and more to stretch my mind a little bit.
Yeah.
So one of my goals is, this is something I did and I fell out of the habit of, is I write something about each book that I read, which is that not publicly. I have fear of public commentary on my book thoughts.
you don't write any reviews at Goodreads.
No, I don't really write any reviews, but I keep a private online journal where I would write my reactions to books, and it's not book reviews. It's literally like how I felt about the book, my thoughts were, what I was doing while I was reading it, and if that influenced how I felt about it. And I've gotten out of the habit. It doesn't take that long to do it, but then once you get behind, it's just insurmountable to try to catch up. And so that's kind of start fresh in 2016 and start doing that again. And it's really helpful because there are books that I'll, because I do rate them on Goodreads, like I talked about, I will, so say I give it 4 stars, but then I'll go back and read my reaction and think, oh, I liked that more than I remember it, or liked that less or something. So I like, so I would like to get back in the habit of that.
I would like it if you put those on Goodreads, because I'm always curious. Yeah. I think the world would. Yeah. Goodreads reviews are tricky. And I always write about everything because I started out writing reviews only for myself and I didn't care who read them. And then I found that the interaction between other people was really fun. And so then I sort of intended on people reading it. So I can tell that my writing style has changed from when I started Goodreads in 2008, maybe, that now I am, I don't know if I'd say I'm more filtered, but I will make all these sort of caveats of, if you're into this, then you like this. And sometimes I want to just say, I thought this was stupid.
Yeah.
And
you put it on your librarian hat.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And I've gotten into maybe 2 fights on Goodreads of that I did not instigate, but some people have a hard time seeing that someone dislikes a book that they really loved. And so I'm willing to defend my position on those things. So that sometimes will color how I think about it. And more so than anything, I can tell that when I'm writing a review for a publisher, then I try to write in this, I don't know the right word for it, maybe like soundbite.
Oh yeah, I did that.
And it annoys me because I feel like I'm not just saying what I want to say. Yeah. And I've gone back to read books that I, or reviews that I wrote about books years ago. And I think, oh, I was a better writer then. Instead of getting better at it as I do it more, I'm just becoming more constrained, I guess. Right. So I don't like that as much. So I'd like to have a little bit more freedom in how I talk about the books that I read, because I don't care really what anyone thinks about my reading habits. So, except for you, dear listener. I care dearly about that. Do you have any other? I've got a couple of other goals.
I do too. Well, I have one which is really quick, which is to get to a couple of books that I didn't read this year that I really wanted to read. And then now it's the end of the year and I'd like to put them to the top of my list for next year.
Okay.
One is A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara, which is getting rave reviews. And has, since it came out, lots of best of the year lists, but is also described as completely heartbreaking and brutal to read. And so I just never had it in me to pick it up.
And it's a big book. Yeah.
And so between those two things, the time commitment and the emotional devastation that could potentially occur, I just was never in the right frame of mind to pick it up. But I really am hoping soon, very soon, to get to that one. In fact, I think it comes out in paperback in January, saw. And I thought maybe when it's in paperback, I'll be less inclined to avoid it because then I can just tote it around with me instead of that big, heavy hardback.
Right.
And then the other one is the series by Elena Ferrante with that starts with My Brilliant Friend. It's four books. She's an Italian author. It's in translation. And it's about two friends growing up in Italy. And I've heard wonderful things about that and have been meaning to get to it. And so now I think it's completed with four volumes. So I thought now is a good time to try it. And then if I like it, I can just read them all.
Yeah.
So those are my two that I used to make long lists of books, or like not even that long, like maybe 10 or 15 books that I would be hoping to get to throughout the year. And then I'd get to the end of the year and have read two of them. So now this is going to be a more reachable goal.
Right.
These are the two that I really felt like I wish I had read them this year and would like to get to them in 2016.
That sounds awesome. I think that going back to the reading challenges, I've seen people online that will talk about the reading challenges and plot out every book they're going to read for the year. And that's just not my style at all. I like to play around with it more. Yeah, exactly.
And then it's not fun.
Yeah. No. Although then sometimes I think that you maybe don't read as diversely and you just find ways to make it fit with.
Right. That's true.
With the theme. And so I sort of like the idea of going through and saying, well, this is a book that I've always had in the back of my head that I ought to read, and I'm going to read it for to fit this criteria. But I don't know that I'd actually do that. So I only have one book that I plan to read this year. I will read many books this year, but one that I plan to read, and it's War and Peace.
That is impressive.
Mic drop.
Mic drop.
I wish you all could see what Anne just did, which is she said War and Peace and then literally sat back in her chair and threw her arms up. It was amazing. All right, and how are you going to tackle War and Peace? Are you going to read it straight through, or
yes,
are you going to break it up?
No, I'm going to read it straight through. And the reason I want to read it is because there's a new BBC adaptation, and there's nothing that inspires me to read a book more than a BBC adaptation of something. So it's by Andrew Davies, who did like Bleak House,
and
he's really awesome at TV adaptations. So I think it's coming out on the BBC in January or earlier in the year. Well, but it won't be on PBS for a while. So I've got some time, and I'm hoping I get this book for Christmas. We'll know once this is actually on the air, whether it's something I received. So I think it's super fun to read a book before I see the adaptation. That to me is just one of the most pleasurable reading experiences. So I've always wanted to read it. I really like Regency era. I like Russia. I think I'll like it. And I know this is the book that you said was your afraid book on your reading life.
Only his length. It's just the length. And I feel like a book like that, I think I would actually probably like. Mm-hmm. I've read other Russian authors and really enjoyed them. It's that the whole time I'd be reading it, I think I'd be thinking of all the books that I was not being able to read because I was focusing on that one. And I've tried with other books to break them up and read like a section, you know, because those were all serialized books, so you can break them up into how they were published and then read other books in between. And I always lose interest if I try to do it that way. When I come back to the book, it's just I don't enjoy it as much. So that one, it was one I would have to read straight through, but it's a big commitment.
Yeah. I read Anna Karenina several years ago, and then I love it too. And then I read it a second time for a book club, and I loved it just as much the second time. But I remember thinking I could be reading like 15 other books in the same amount of time because they're just such a time commitment. And even if you give it a good amount of time, like you spend a lot of time reading it, it's still going to take you like a couple weeks to get through this at the very least. Yeah. So
I remember when we read Bleak House in college, and my professor said it would take us 40 hours to read that book.
Wow.
I mean, think of a full week's.
Wow.
A work week of reading.
I wish that were my work week.
That would
be amazing.
Totally.
So other than that, that's the only book that I have said I for sure want to read. But my other goal in terms of the books I choose, I want to read more books that I love versus books that I like.
Yes.
I find that when I look back on Goodreads at the end of the year, then I have tons of books that I'm like, that was fun. I liked it. I'm pretty good at weeding out books I'm not going to like, but there's just a lot of like and not love.
I'm the same. And I felt like in this year that was where the situation I was in, particularly because I didn't put any sort of guidelines on my mm-hmm. reading. And so I just was sort of falling back on picking up things that sounded, oh, this sounds good. I'll read this now.
Right.
Instead of really searching for books that seemed like I would love them.
Yeah.
Now, do you give up on books if you read them?
Well, that's one of my goals.
Okay.
So I'm sure you're aware of the Nancy Pearl mm-hmm. rule. And if you're not, then Nancy Pearl is a librarian with Seattle Public Library and has kind of become, she's literally a librarian action figure.
Yes, I have it.
I do too. I think every librarian worth their salt has it on their desk. So she is a big advocate for Reader's Advisory, which is recommending books to people mm-hmm. essentially. And so she's written a bunch of books that are kind of helps for that yeah. For librarians. So she has a rule that if you're under 50 and under, then you read to page 50, and if you don't love the book, then you quit. And then if you're over 50, then you subtract your age from 100 and you read to that page. So as the older you get, the fewer pages you have to read because your time is limited and you just need to read things that you love. And so I did that a few times this year with books, and I found it very freeing mm-hmm. to be able to quit a book. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal, is to be better at quitting and being able to say, this isn't something that I love.
I got a lot better with that when I took away the number goal.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because it didn't feel like a waste of time then. Even if I had read to page 150 and it was a 300-page book and I thought, I don't really care what happens in this book, mm-hmm. I'd set it aside. Whereas before, I would have pushed through and finished it because I would have thought, well, I've spent however long it was reading, I should continue on.
Yeah. I sometimes find myself finishing a book because I feel like I want to know why I didn't like it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, I mean, I love hate reading. So there are books I'm going to finish just because I love that experience so much. But then there are books that I just think are mediocre. Yeah. And then why am I wasting my time on that? And it may be a great book for someone else, but I don't need to spend my time on it. So that's one of my goals. Mm-hmm. And similarly, one of my goals is to be more discerning on the pre-published books that I get from publishers. Right now, I'm sort of treating that as my to-read list. Mm-hmm. And so I just request anything that sounds fun to me. And I think that I need to say, I have hundreds of these books on my Kindle, and there's no way I can get through those in a year, let alone probably ever.
Right.
So I just need to say, I'm picking 5 books this month that sound good to me that I'll request from the publisher, and then I won't worry that they'll stop sending me things because I read so few of the books that they actually send me. That one I think would be a really helpful thing for me. Anything else you want to talk about?
I don't think so. I'm going to have to sort of ponder how to structure, because like I said, I'm good with measurable and quantifiable resolutions in my life. So I need to sort of figure out exactly what shape that's going to take. But generally, I think I've hit on everything that I want to try to go for in 2016. And we will see at the end of the year how we have done.
Oh, I suddenly feel so much pressure to do all these things.
But that's part of, that's part of the discussion is, did we...
It's more fun to review at the end of the year and see if you actually allowed yourself to be free as a reader, or if you stuck to all of your guilt.
All right, we'll be right back with what we're reading this week. What are you reading this week?
I just started a book called The Song of Hartgrove Hall by Natasha Solomons. This is set in England, despite my reading goals. So
getting off on a good foot.
Yeah, we'll see what everyone, how this ends up at the end of the year. So the book flips back and forth in time between 1946 and I think 1990s. It doesn't say that explicitly, but I think that that's the time period. So the book begins just after World War II, and the Fox Talbot family is holding a New Year's Eve party at their ancestral home, which is called Hartgrove Hall. And the house had been requisitioned by the British military during the war, and so it's falling apart from lack of care. And the family can't really afford to fix it, so they decide to have this big party just to remind them of better times. And at this party, the youngest son, who is the main character, his name is Harry, and they actually call him Fox in the book, and they kind of describe why that is, since it's also his last name. But he, at this party, meets Edie Rose, who is a famous singer that is also dating his older brother, Jack. And Harry is a musician, and he's immediately infatuated with Edie, but not really because of her beauty or her fame, but because of her work as an artist. And she seems to be kind of taken with him as well. Her boyfriend, Jack, is more of a playboy, and Harry is very earnest and very interested in art. And so they have this connection. I haven't gotten to this yet, but the scenario, or the book blurb, says that this scenario that's created in 1946 tangles the threads of love and duty and will lead to a devastating betrayal. So I can imagine what happens. And then, and we sort of find out in certain ways what happens, because the book flips back and forth in time to 50 years later, when Harry is a celebrated composer and he's mourning the recent death of his wife, who was Edie. So we know that somehow they got together. He's sort of at a loss at how to continue to live when he, when this section of the book starts, but then he realizes that his 4-year-old grandson is a piano prodigy. And so he starts a relationship with him, and it reignites his love of music and sort of reawakens his will to live, but also reawakens these memories of the past. And so he has to confront what happened 50 years ago. And I don't know what that is yet, so I'm excited to find out. I've seen this definitely is kind of a slow start to a book. Mm-hmm. And so but I've read reviews where they said that it really picks up as it goes along. And so I'm hoping that this doesn't fall under the Nancy Pearl
50 pages.
Yeah, I'd be in trouble with that. So, but it sounds, the writing is good. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's a good read alike for Kate Morton.
I was just about to say, it sounds like a good one for Kate Morton.
Right. Fans. And I haven't read her, but I need to this year. but it doesn't really have that gothic feel that I've heard Kate Morton does. Yeah. And I think books about the aristocracy dealing with changing society mm-hmm. are really interesting. So I'm enjoying that part of it. But weirdly, I don't like Downton Abbey that much.
I was going to say, it sounds like if you like Downton Abbey, you might.
Yeah, I think it would be a good read alike for that. But for me, I'm kind of tired of Downton Abbey. So mm-hmm. that it's the same themes that are happening mm-hmm. in both. But for some reason, I like it in this form and don't care about it in Downton Abbey. Mm-hmm. So explain that. I don't know. So that's The Song of Heartgrove Hall by Natasha Solomons.
The book I'm reading this week is Everything, Everything by Nicola Dune. It is a YA book, and it is one I picked up because I had seen it on a few best of the year lists, and I think I had heard of it when it came out, but it didn't, I don't know why, it just didn't grab me. But so I decided to read it. It's about a girl named Maddie who is 17, and she has not left her house since she was a baby because she has a disease where she is allergic to everything. She's basically like, you know that John Travolta movie from the 70s? Did you ever see it, about the boy in the bubble?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's classic. Like,
right. So she's basically that, but in modern world. So they have air filters that filter out any sort of allergen or potential allergen for her from the air. And mm-hmm. she wears white all the time. Like, there's no paint in her room because of the potential for toxicity. And she basically only interacts with her mother. And then she has a nurse that comes in every day. She has some tutors, online tutors, but then one who can come visit because he'll be decontaminated every time he comes in. So she's very isolated life, but she's also pretty content with her life. Like, she's she loves to read, so her whole world is basically from fiction that she reads, and gets to see the outside world through her stories that occupy her time. And then one day a new family moves in next door, and she looks out the window, and there's a 17-year-old boy who shows up in the family, and she's very intrigued by him. She starts paying attention and watching the family, and he notices her through the window also. And so they start communicating just by gestures, and he'll write notes on the window mm-hmm. and stuff. And then they start IMing and emailing each other. And suddenly, because of this glimpse of kind of a normal teenage relationship that she's having, she wants much bigger things for her life than what she currently has. Mm-hmm. And so I hesitate to say this, it's a little bit like The Fault in Our Stars. If you read The Fault in Our Stars, with the love story, the way that develops, not as far as the sickness portion, but the mm-hmm. love story, it plays out very believably. And it's a cute book because it's a mixture of text and some drawings and like post-it notes.
Oh,
and
wow.
I like the format of it. It felt fresh and interesting. And it's just a very charming and engaging book and an interesting subject. You don't mm-hmm. come across something like that very much, where she is confined to her house because of this illness. And that is Everything, Everything by Nicola Dune.
We don't have a book list to go through this time, so.
All right. Well, yeah, we don't really, do we?
No. We could just repeat what we read this week, but we just literally talked about it.
So we don't need to do it. Yeah. So no book list this week. All right, well, Happy New Year, everybody. If you want to get in touch with us to give us feedback or a suggestion on a topic you'd like us to discuss, you can email us at wellreadpod@gmail.com or on Twitter at wellreadpodcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or your other podcast provider of choice. Our podcast is engineered by Adam Farver. Our theme music is Kitten by Poddington Bear. We keep our show notes at BeaufortCountyLibrary.org/wellread, where you can find a listing of every book we talked about in this episode. If you'd like a book recommendation list tailored specifically for you, please go to BeaufortCountyLibrary.org/mynextbook and take a brief survey on what type of books you like. You will need a Beaufort County Library card in order to use that service. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading!